She's alive. Alive.
Right, so we're going to jump straight into it. I don't know how this passed me by for the last 2 months, but apparently in February, it was announced that there is, well, it was rumored, that there is a new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie in the works. The rumored plot name and plot line is Texas Chainsaw Massacre Legacy. And the plot line is the film is set to explore the seemingly peaceful facade of Oasis Oaks, a gated community in rural Texas. Within the manicured lawns and vigilant security, a protagonist family enjoying suburban bliss becomes entangled in a harrowing battle for survival as they confront the infamous Leatherface and his macabre kin in an abandoned property nearby, which means one thing, the return of the Sawyer.
Nice.
So I might be revisiting the Sawyer soon.
Possibly.
Well, I was playing the game last night.
Yeah.
And there was one or two Sawyers there that I didn't know about. There was a Tommy Sawyer and can't remember the girl's name.
Tommy Sawyer, like Tom Sawyer.
He's apparently the closest thing to a real serial killer, real proper serial killer, you know, stereotypical serial killer.
Oh, okay, yeah, I getcha.
And I don't know, I didn't play as him. I always played as the hitchhiker.
Okay.
Yeah, because I love the originals, and I wanted to rather be, you know, you got to choose between the cook, Leatherface, the hitchhiker, no Chop Top.
That's annoying. I think I'd want to play.
I wanted to be Chop Top.
Yeah.
All I wanted to be was Chop Top.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to collect blood to feed to the grandpa, and then he gets like extra power to help you find where the other ones are hiding and stuff.
Cool.
And they can be hiding too. Like, you know, you can find them in fridges. You can find them in boots of cars hiding on you. Like, so they'd be sneaking. So it's a real stealth game.
Yeah.
Right? So it is a bit of fun. It's good. I got to get the hang of it.
Yeah.
I'm shocking it at the moment.
I have to give it a play.
But see, I'm used to the online games because you got to cooperate. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mind. It's not just that I'm bad at cooperating. The people I'm playing with are bad at cooperating. I was the hitchhiker.
Okay.
And I had fucking my Leatherface fucking follow me around trying to hack me up for fucking about 10 minutes in the game. And I'm like, dude, you can't kill me. I'm with you. You physically can't kill me. Stop fucking attacking me. Go look for the fucking victims, you know?
Oy. Do you know what the game was about? Is that a bit odd?
I have no idea. I really don't. It was 4 a.m. I mean, who the fuck knows who's on at that point? Insomniacs like myself. And
are people that play during the day in America?
That's true too.
4 a.m.
Could be early playing in Japan. Well, it's I was playing Dead by Daylight as well, which is a very similar game.
Mm.
And I got the Chucky expansion pack and the Ghostface expansion pack, but I haven't got to play them yet.
Okay,
so we'll see. But it's a similar kind of thing. You are the killer, or you could be the survivor trying to hide from the killer.
Yeah.
You got to sneak around. In these cases, you got like these generators that if you're the survivor, you're trying to fix the generator so that the electric gates will open and you can get out.
Okay.
In the meantime, then, if you're the killer, you're around a place re-breaking these generators and trying to find them and listening for noises and tracks and so on. Same as the Texas Chainsaw game. And same as the Friday the 13th game, which I also have.
Feels like you could only have, you know, you'd have been fine with just one of them.
Well, apparently, so I don't know. I was reading about this yesterday. The Friday the 13th game, which I did have for ages, never really played. It's down to the same reason we don't get movies anymore. It's the rights were all over the shop.
Oh.
So it kind of fucked the game over. The game was out, but it was going to be one of these games that would constantly release new material.
Yeah.
So you'd get the next version of Jason, the next version of Jason, all this kind of shit.
Mm.
And it just kind of shut down operations last year.
Huh.
Now, you can still play the game, but the servers aren't up, so you can still play locally, I assume.
Yeah.
I re-downloaded it last night because I had heard when they were closing down, they pretty much made all the locked stuff unlockable, and I was wondering if they will be there. I haven't checked yet. But most of them work for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre people.
Okay.
So, it's cool. Very similar game.
Yeah.
But the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a real stealthy game. It's a fun game to play. The movie, I cannot fucking wait. As long as it is better than 2022, I'll be happy. They just bring back more of the Sawyers.
Yeah.
I think Texas Chainsaw is more than Leatherface. Mm. And people need to realize that.
Yeah.
And that's where we've been failing for so long. They've been relying on Leatherface since the four, since after the four. Once they started rebooting and prequeling stuff, they were relying way too much on Leatherface and his origins. Yeah. Start looking at the rest of them. They're all fucked up. The twins, I mean, Nubbins and Chop Top alone. Like, there's a movie in that. Do you know? Imagine the two of them on a road trip.
Good movie.
I suppose Rob Zombie already did a Tree from Hell. But people are saying that Rob Zombie be a great person to direct the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Definitely.
But again, I think we pointed out in the show once before, he kind of did when he made one the host 1,000 Corpses.
That's true. And who would you cast Sheree as in a...
Huh?
Who would you cast Sheree Moon as in a... In,
if you sure, they'd make up a Sawyer for her. Come on. Sherry Sawyer or Baby Sawyer. Baby Sawyer. That's what she's in at. Firefly film. Apparently, there's another one of those movies in the works as well.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I know. I don't know how definite that is. That's just an article that I glanced past earlier on. But there's rumors that Rob Zombie is working on a new Firefly movie.
Cool.
So that'd be awesome. No, on to our buddy Frankenstein. Or more the bride. Well, the bride is what we should be talking about. Unfortunately, we're talking about Frankenstein. And we're talking about the exact same thing we were talking about 3 weeks ago when we were talking about The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everyone's not happy because a picture that slightly resembles Jared Leto's similar photography when he was first shown as the Joker has come out.
Except
and Frankenstein has tattoos now. Ugh.
Frankenstein is also made out of different parts of criminals. So, I mean, again, not stereotyping, but historically.
Yeah, well, they're never really good tattoos, so I wouldn't take any offense to it. I mean, you know, us non-criminals, we get good ones, we pay for them. Or in my case, I owned a tattoo studio and didn't pay for them, I just paid for the material. And had some spare time in my hands.
Nice.
But I think he looks pretty cool. I'm looking forward to this version of it. I mean, Christian Bale is good at everything he's in.
Yes, yeah, no.
You know, he really fucking leans right into it. And then, I mean, on top of it, just getting it from this direction. Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Like a woman's perspective. The bride, like,
rather than Dr. Frankenstein and his monster.
Mm-hmm.
And and we'll have that version of it as well. With fucking, you say it because I'm not going to. Guillermo del Toro. Yes.
Good job.
Spanish name's not so good. Italian's not a bother. Oh, what was the name I was saying again?
Gianelli. And Japanese names, in fairness to you, from wrestling.
Wrestling,
you take
really good
old stab at them.
Yeah. Mm. You kind of see the thing, the real thing about Italian and Japanese is you really got to lean in on the accents, the way they pronounce.
Oh, yeah.
You have to lean in. You have to sound it. You have to get a bit of that. Like I said, when I said Gianelli.
It's like saying, well, you're never going to do a better German accent than you are when you're taking the absolute piss. Like,
you have to lean in to make it sound right.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's just not going to come out right. Fucking so. Get the fuck over the tattoos, guys. They're here to stay. But it's what kids look like today. Do you know, it's
like
not
Frankenstein.
Like,
that's a bit harsh.
I know a few people who fucking look like that. fucking idiots, but yeah. But I mean, like, the Crow, Frankenstein, this is...
What's wrong with the Crow? He has tattoos as well. No?
It's the haircut, it's the horse, it's everything. It's because he doesn't look exactly like fucking Brandon Lee. And that's and then if he did look exactly like Brandon Lee, it would be like, oh, it's just the same movie again. Oh, blah, blah, blah. They're just trying to make him look like Brandon Lee.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't fucking win either way. Mm-hmm. What you gotta, and like I've said before, these movies aren't for the already fans. They're there to make new fans. And this is what's cool to fucking kids today, to teenagers today, to people in their 20s today. This is what's punk, what's ska, what's emo, what's metal, what's, you know, the style. This is how you're supposed to look, apparently.
It is. Perfect.
I just wore and still wear torn up jeans, a biker jacket, and fucking, you know, a few decent tattoos, and I got on well. didn't need all these stupid fucking words. It's the words. They're constantly... That's the thing that I always look at. Whenever you see, like, the Joker, you had the Crow, and I can even see it right here. I'm looking at the picture of Christian Bale.
Oh, he has, like, hope or something on his chest. On his chest. Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah, with the Joker, what was it? He had his face.
What didn't he have written on himself? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I know a fella that used to be tattooed, or is tattooed just as bad, but at least the Joker's tattoos, decent tattoos that were relevant to him. I suppose this fucking
well, that one would be relevant to relevant him as to him well.
It would have been more relevant if he just fucking tattooed dumb fuck across his forehead instead of what he did. Anyway, moving on. So we have The Bride and we have Frankenstein both coming from different directors, different places next year. Can't wait. That's going to be awesome. We got to make a big ass deal out of that, considering we're basing our whole podcast around their
aesthetic.
Lore, yeah.
Aesthetic, what do you say?
Their lore and aesthetic. So last week we were talking about Late Night with the Devil, and it got 666,000 in the box office on a Sunday.
Yeah, it did.
Sydney Sweeney. I don't know why you keep going to call her Sweeney Sydney. Sydney Sweeney, her horror movie Immaculate. Their way of I think this is a counteracting way. I think this is a kind of way of their way of getting publicity.
Sure, I hope the publicity,
Because obviously the 666 thing was working for Late Night with Late Night with the Devil. They are charging for this week only $6.66 to go see Immaculate in cinemas in America. Huh? It is a good idea. Oh, no, sorry. It's not for a week. It was on April 3rd. So that was 2 days ago.
Oh.
So you missed it. But it was a good idea. I like the idea. I got to see this movie. I think weird timing for all these movies to be coming out again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, we talked about this before. Do you remember we were talking about when we were doing The Exorcist, how I was saying there were so many movies that came out kind of
around the time
when people were losing faith and almost as a way to scare them back into it. No, actually, I was going to say maybe they're doing the same again, but they seem to be taking a lot of the religion out of those. I mean, like, The Exorcist intentionally pulled the Catholics on that one.
But they kind of threw in every faith into that one.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But my brother was pointing out the last day, it was that The Omen was getting, the first Omen was getting bad reviews because it was too much like Immaculate. And I was like, well, yeah, because it's all about nuns in a fucking satanic fucking situation.
Yeah.
So they are pretty similar movies, but I don't know. Do you think they're trying to scare us back into the church?
No.
Late Night with the Devil, Immaculate, the First Omen.
I just think it's not a trendy topic right now, but it's a topic people are enjoying.
What, ragging on the fucking... Well, I mean,
well,
come
not
here.
Even that.
If the Bible is good for anything, it's good for horror stories. So sure. I'm going to give them that much. Yeah. Hey kids, can't get enough of that blood, guts and gore? Then head on over to our Patreon, where for just $5 a month you'll get exclusive access to our true crime show Real Monsters and horrific history tales from Playing with Bones with Amy Rose, along with early access to our minisodes and ad-free access to everything else. All this and loads more horror-tastic extras from the Horrorverse. So what are you waiting for? Permission? Go nick your parents' card today and subscribe now at patreon.com/ It's Alive Alive Pod. Remember, that's It's Alive Alive Podcast, a really, really fake true crime horror podcast. It's Alive Alive, all the guts and gore with none of the guilt. Getting away from movies that are out now to movies that are filming, one of my favourites. And this one, I'm sure you're glad, you're going to be delighted to hear this. Terrifier 3 features one of the most insanely horrific scenes of the franchise. Writer-director Damien Leone had a budget of around $55,000 to work with on his breakout horror film Terrifier, and a budget a little over $250,000 for Terrifier 2. Jesus, he did a lot with a quarter of a million for Terrifier 2, didn't he?
Yep.
And it earned $15.1 million in the box office. Some fucking return. No wonder he's still a boy. I've told you, we're going to be seeing art for a long, 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 long time. Since the second film did so well, Terrifier 3, which is scheduled to reach theaters on October 25th, 2024, has a substantially higher budget. A couple of million is going into this one, which is now deep into production. And earlier this morning, Leon took to social media with an update revealing that he and his cast and crew just filmed one of the most insanely horrific scenes of the Terrifier franchise, and you'll never believe who couldn't handle it on set. Oh, I've heard about this. Apparently, the actor of Art the Clown was finding it hard not to throw up on set during this, filming this scene.
Do you know what scene it is? As in,
No, they're not going to tell us what that scene is. What was the first one? What was it in the first one? In the first one, obviously, it was her getting cut in half.
And then in the second one, it was her in the bedroom scene. Yeah.
So what are they going to do in this third one that's going to be like, holy motherfucking God.
I really don't know.
Enough to make Art the Clown himself vomit.
I don't know. I don't want to think about that.
I cannot fucking wait. Yeah. There's something else I was going to say actually about this, and I can't remember now. That's a huge budget jump, though. Up to a couple of million. It's going to be getting crazy, crazy effects on this one. But still no sign of Winnie the Pooh. Blood and Honey 2 for me.
I'm sorry.
Not in demand yet. It didn't come out in cinemas in Ireland, unfortunately. But we are getting the third one.
We are. I bet you the Trauma, the Toxie will be out first.
I messaged Lloyd Kaufman this week on Instagram. And I asked him very politely. I explained that I was a fan. I enjoyed all his work. And I politely asked him if there was any update at all on when we might see the Toxic Avenger.
Did he read your message?
I didn't even check if he's read it, but he didn't respond to it either right away. Thanks, Lloyd. Uncle Lloyd, as he likes to call himself. Not very uncle-y of you.
Sounds very uncle-y of him.
Not ignoring you?
Yeah. I'm joking.
Anyway, we were talking about it. We might as well have a look at it. The First Omen review. A haunting, powerful prequel worthy of the horror classic. I'm going to read this review really quickly and then we might talk about it because myself and you have actually watched 1, 2, and 3 in the last couple of nights.
Yes.
We can get into it. So Richard Donner's The Omen begins June 6th at 6 a.m. in Rome with the birth of the Antichrist and his adoption into the affluent American family. Damien Thorne's birth and subsequent reign of terror preordained by franchise canon make approaching a prequel to a heralded horror classic a daunting task. I don't know why I can't do words where the two letters start. Director Akasha Stevenson makes it look effortless with The First Omen, a masterclass in form matched by its compelling horror and characters. The First Omen is set in 1971, follows American native Margaret Diano as she's sent to Rome to work in an orphanage before she takes the veil. As Margaret adapts to not just her new vocation, but the entire new country and city in Theros?
I am fucking.
Do you know what's killing me here? We got this new camera on me, right? Because we're trying to do filming. I don't even know if they'll see us on camera yet. But we're trying filming. The light is right in my fucking eyes when I'm trying to read this paragraph and I cannot see what the hell is in front of me. Essentially, this woman goes to Rome. She's not from Rome. She does not speak Italian. She does not know the ways of the Italiano. So she must learn
she
all
can't
that
do the accent.
While dealing with, she doesn't know how to say GNL just about yet. She's got to deal with all this while all this weird, creepy omen shit is going on. And obviously, based in 1971, it means it is directly before The Omen, which would, I would guess, means that this this nun is going to be Mama Damien.
Yeah, I would like for this movie to also explain why that priest had 666 on him.
Well, see, there's a few questions I have about The Omen.
Yeah.
Right, first of all, how are we going to have a Mama Thorn, considering even Damien himself in the second and third one, and it is said multiple times in the first one, says he is born of a jackal.
It's probably his dad.
No. His mother was a jackal. Oh. He was born from a jackal.
So, is it a metaphor?
I suppose that's the way they're going to go with it for this one.
Mother was a dog. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a weird one. Another one, weird one is, yeah, like you said, Damien has a 666 on him.
Mm.
But Doctor Who, when he gets killed in the first one, when he gets this this steep little fucking spike through the head.
He also has 666.
They show him with a 666 on his fucking, under his, I don't know, leg hair, arm hair.
So what, you think he was... Yeah. No, that doesn't make sense. I don't know what his story
is. Because it's not like they ever showed any of his other supporters or minders or watchers with 666 on him. He's the only other person we know with 666, so it's a really confusing
thing. TARDIS technology making him blend in.
And here is one more fucking little discrepancy I had with the Omen trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
That is, there's 7 daggers, right, to kill Damien. His dad goes to get the 7 daggers to kill Damien as a toddler. He's stopped.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then in the second one, his uncle goes to get the 7 daggers to kill Damien. He is stopped.
Yeah.
Then the daggers go missing. And the daggers go up. They get found one by one. And they go on auction. And there's a bunch of priests buy the daggers.
Mm.
With the plan of killing Damien, the Antichrist, because they know by the way the stars are about to align that Jesus is about to return.
Yeah.
And there was a twist at the end, actually, I didn't see coming. I'd forgotten. It had been years since I'd seen this. And I always thought the ending was cheesy as fuck, because I didn't really pay much attention to the third one when I was younger and I watched it. Mm. It is very political. But with the way the stars align, they know Jesus is coming back. But suddenly... they have the 7 knives, and whereas everybody else felt they needed the 7 knives to kill Damien, now only one of them is needed. So 7 priests take the 7 knives, and all that has to happen is one of them stab him. It doesn't even have to be the priest either. Just one of these knives have to stab Damien.
Power transference.
But it's like, why have we been building on 7 no knives idea. Up until this 7. Point?
7 is supposed to be kind of a magical number, though, isn't it?
I know that, but...
But why carry it on? I know what you're saying.
Why was his dad and his uncle going to the hassle of carrying 7 knives everywhere? Why was everybody going to the hassle of carrying 7 knives everywhere when one would have done the job? When later the priests were just like, oh, we'll just separate 7 knives. No, we got 7 chances of killing the little prick.
Maybe that's what it was. Everybody takes a knife, so we got 7 instead of me going up with 7, and then I get killed and the 7 knives are gone.
But why carry the 7 knives with you in the first place? You don't need them. You only need one.
That is true.
The actual hitch. I dropped my... Here it is.
You sound like a proper dad giving out to your kids for not packing light enough on holiday.
Well, the kicker then, right, is that Damien went away. Basically, in the third one, he has all the children born on the day of this day, the day the stars all aligned for Jesus, for the second coming.
Mm.
Every male child born in, it directs them to the general area as well of where these children are. So something like fucking 13 kids or 13 or so babies in London, male babies in London born on this day at this time were killed. And the kicker is, in the Bible, it isn't claimed that like Damien will be born, the Antichrist will be born and raised and become a political figure and take over the world. And Jesus will come back to fight him, and then we'll have the big apocalyptic war. Because that's the idea. That's what the Christians believe, right? So just so you know, Catholics and Christians, when you die, you do not go to heaven or hell instantly.
Yeah.
You're in your grave.
Yeah.
When the rapture happens, then they will decide whether you are staying here, going down, or going up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going up, you're one of the good ones, you go up to heaven. If you're one of the bad ones, you go to hell. Otherwise, you're one of the kind of unjudged, and we stay here. The likes of myself and you, we'll be stuck here. And we will then have to fight with Jesus against...
Oh, I'll be stuck here.
You will then have to fight with Jesus against the forces of hell in a 7-year war. Is it 7-year war or 700-year war? I don't know. Either fucking way.
It's like a bit of a slap.
Either way, Damien is expecting a baby Jesus to be born on this day. Unfortunately for him, full-blown adult Jesus is the one that comes back to get him. So he kind of sets to, and it not really comes back as like the ghost, the Holy Ghost kind of thing. And Damien gets killed by a woman that you don't really expect him to be killed by. And then as Damien lies dying, there's like this big glow in the sky, and then Jesus kind of appears in the sky and then goes again, and that's the end of the movie.
Sounds like J.K. Rowling might have gotten a lot of Harry Potter and Voldemort from this.
Well, the Antichrist? Well, I would assume Voldemort would be...
Well, Harry dies before he comes back, obviously. Like, you know, to kill Voldemort.
But yeah, well, I would have assumed that...
No, it's just thinking, obviously, maybe it's like glaringly... Like. Well, I knew he was the wizard. He was the wizarding Antichrist. I knew that, like, and it was kind of like a wizarding kind of end of the world scenario, really. But the whole coming back again.
All right. So we said we're going to do a short one today because we got some stuff to do, right? Stuff to do for the podcast. More stuff to do for the podcast. But no, I ain't saying nothing because it's all weather dependent at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I have a question for you before we go.
Mm-hmm.
Considering we're talking Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
if you were to say right now
mm-hmm.
who the Antichrist is, who would you think it could be?
Elon Musk.
Too obvious.
Do you think?
Well, see, the idea of the Antichrist is that it would be someone that would blend in. That's why people like leaned on Obama so much, was because it has to be someone
that you least suspect.
That gains our trust, that makes us want to follow him.
Oh, I don't know.
That becomes a leader, so that when there is a fucking battle between heaven and hell, we take his side over the Christ side, you know?
William H. Macy has a very trustable face.
He does, and I like him, and I love him, and I don't want him to take any offense to this if he ever hears it, but I don't think he's high enough status for the Antichrist.
<That's true. laughs> I don't know.
Obama, again, because of his position as a president. But no, he's a Netflix producer, so I don't know how that works.
Oh, no.
Maybe if he was the Antichrist, he would have went a bit higher up the level Prince on what William? He was doing. Which one's that? That's the one that's going to be the king or the one that married Meghan Markle?
No, going to be the king. He's going to be the king when the king dies.
I don't know if any of those royalties would be Antichrist material.
They got the money.
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't put my fucking...
I'm sticking with mine.
If... Yeah.
Michael T. Higgins. Another politician, Leo Varadkar.
I know who it is. I know what it is now. I got it. I'm not going to say too much because the CIA will get it be done on us right away. But I'm telling you now, Dwayne Johnson, I know what The Rock is cooking. I can smell what The Rock is cooking.
Oh, Josh. Is that why he got the bigger bull, I wonder?
The 666 match that was fucking... Oh, the Antichrist is The Rock. The people's champion.
Try not to get a suit, Josh.
The people's champion. Loved in everything he does. Fucking, let alone has he not said he wants to become president, but everybody else has been like, he will be your president.
Oh, I'd vote for him in a heartbeat.
By public opinion to become a fucking president. Like, it's The Rock. The Rock is the fucking Antichrist. We never saw it coming.
You did.
Didn't know.
If The Rock ended up, I would never trust anything ever again.
if The Rock ended up being the Antichrist, I don't think you'd have to worry about trusting anything ever again. We'd be in an apocalyptic war. You and me would have been very wrong about religion for a very long time, and we'd
I
be
think we could talk
some,
our way.
We'd
up.
Be kissing some Fine. Jesus ass and doing all of what the Christianly stuff that we're supposed to be doing. Oh, God, they'd be whipping us for years for the shit we've done.
You'd be begging them to whip you for years.
Oh, yeah. Giggity.
If you like that, then listen to our main show every Wednesday on all good podcast providers. It's Alive Alive, the really, really fake true crime horror podcast. All the guts and gore, none of the guilt. See you on Wednesdays.